take your Bible, if you would, and turn to the Deuteronomy chapter 13. We're going to be doing a bunch of reading that stuff we've already went over. This will be the last Sunday on that, and this coming Easter Sunday, I'm not going to be here. And if you don't mind, those of you that are going to be here, if you would come in here and take up for the missions, and when you get that taken care of, go over to Brother John's class and he's going to teach there. Me and my wife are going to get away for the first time in about 4 years, just me and her, so we need this time. What'd I tell you? Yeah, Deuteronomy. And it's powerful. Some powerful stuff over there in that Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verses in chapter 17 having to do more with the heart and our mind and our soul than we maybe would really realize just reading through it. But when you let it sink down and think about some of these things, you can see the influence that things about us have on us. So I'm going to begin reading in verses 1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass. Notice this, it comes to pass. The thing that he prophesies, it happens. Now, you know, we know that one of the things for a true prophet is it comes to pass. In this case, here's a false prophet, and it comes to pass. Now, listen what God says about it. Whereof he spake unto thee, saying, now here's what he said. Now, he speaks. He's speaking, though, not for God. He says, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whether he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Hey, In the occult area, you know, we know that there are gods. They're little gods. They are spirits, unclean spirits. They are Satan's missionaries, Satan's angels, and they can make things happen. They're not true. They're false. They're misleading. Everything they speak is a lie. But sometimes it sounds like it's true, just like in the garden with Adam and Eve. It seemed to be true to her, but she was deceived. And God is warning them right there, don't be deceived just because you see wonders, you see signs come to pass with a lying spirit. It might sound like the truth, but God's telling him, said, look, there's only one God, one true God. I made these other gods. He made us. He made them. He made all things. And he's warning us not to be deceived and follow after these rebellious spirits. For the Lord your God proveth you. See, God allowed this to happen. See, you need to go ahead and make up your mind who God is. We need to go ahead and make up our mind who God is. And no matter what, no matter the way things seem, no matter how much the enemy seems to be true, you need to go ahead and make up your mind who is true. The Bible says that when the Antichrist comes on the scene, he said if it were possible, he would deceive even the very elect. In other words, us. If it were possible. Now, he might deceive your mind. He ain't going to deceive us. You know why? Because we've got Christ in us. And you can't deceive him. You can't deceive the Spirit. You can't deceive God the Father. You ain't going to deceive him. He's going to know. And even though your mind might be deceived, God is going to keep his own. And he tells them, he said, if this, he proves you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments. Now, a lot of people have trouble with this word fear. You know, they want to change it into respect. I tell you what fear is. The Bible said we are to serve him with fear and trembling. Any of you remember when mama told you to do something and you didn't do it? And she all of a sudden, she says, Rick. Rick. And Rick's out there doing what he wanted to do, not what mama told him to do. Rick. Yes, mom. Boy, why didn't you do it? Woo! Get a little of that fear and trembling. You know, you done got caught in something, huh? Doesn't mean you don't love them. Doesn't mean they don't love you. It simply means you know there's a consequence coming. And God wants us to realize there's consequences, and we ought to have that kind of fear that, well, I was sitting there thinking this morning, I wish I really could see how important everything we say and do this morning is. And every day, and every morning when you get up, and the consequences for disobedience or lack of obedience. Might not be a disobedience, it might be a lack of obedience. Might not be that you're doing something wrong, could be you're not doing something right that you ought to do. And God says, and in fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. Remember, he's your heavenly Father. And if we feared our mothers and fathers who are physical mother and fathers, how much more ought we to fear our heavenly Father who created our parents and gave them the authority that they have in our lives? Because there is no authority but of God. That's the reason why we are, every time we see that blue light come up in our back, we ought to have a little bit of fear, you know. Huh? You don't know how it's going to go. How many of you have ever wondered how it's going to go as soon as that light goes off? What? Oh, man, how's this going to end up? Oh, man, what's it going to cost? What's the consequence? What did I do? And maybe sometimes you know what you was doing. You said, I got caught. And you got a little bit of fear and trembling. You know why? You got to go home and tell your wife our insurance is going up. You got to go home and tell your wife, oh, I got, oh, by the way, honey, we got a $250 bill we got to pay. Unless you do like a lot of crooks do. Go get them a lawyer and lie for you. Yeah. Go get you a lawyer to lie for you. I asked a question last week. I said, is it always right to tell the truth? Mm-hmm. But if you get a lawyer to lie for you, you still told a lie. Yep. I don't think it's right. I'm going to be honest. Personally, I don't think it's right to do that. To get you a lawyer and get, what they call that? Where they improper equipment. The only thing improper was you was disobeying the law. Yeah. You can do what you want to. I made my mind a long time ago. If I get a ticket, I'm going to go down there and plead guilty. And if they want to drop the charge down, and they will most times, if you'll just go down there and tell the stinking truth. But you're going to have to pay for it in your insurance, because you will get a, you know, you'll probably get a point or two. But I made up my mind a long time ago I wasn't going to do that. And you can do what you want. And obey his voice. You shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death. Because he has spoken to you to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way. And Jesus Christ is the way, which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk therein. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. Sounds like the Lord saying that's a pretty serious thing. He said, kill him. Now, I'm not telling you every time somebody comes along and tries to get you out and away from church, we are to kill them. It's a different dispensation. This was the law. You understand? This was a capital offense under the law. I mean, you couldn't even pick up sticks on the Sabbath day. Why? And you say, doesn't that seem kind of severe? Well, you got to understand, he was dealing with a bunch of stupid people. They'd been living down there in Egypt under all them false gods, doing all that mess that they did down there in Egypt. And God had to try to get their attention and let them see how serious this thing was. Because you see, if they yielded to that, and they yielded to these people, what was it going to mean in the long run? It was going to destroy not just one, he was going to destroy dozens or hundreds or maybe even thousands. We got a lot of things going on in this country today that's destroying thousands by putting a stamp of approval on it. Well, you know, we need to make up our mind like Brother Ed Blue said one time. I ain't going with them. I ain't going with them. I'm for forgiveness. I'm for preaching the gospel. I think it belongs to every creature. I don't care what kind of sin they're involved in. I agree with Billy Graham on this. Ain't no sin worse than the other. It's all the same. It's sin. Sin is sin. And by the way, Jesus already paid for the sins. But we need to stand for what's right so that people will believe God. And if we don't, they won't believe. If the church won't stand, then who will? You think the politicians are going to stand? You think the White House is going to stand? You think he's standing now? You think our president's really standing? I guarantee you, for his old, he'll be just as wishy-washy as every other crowd that's ever been up there. Now, I pray he don't. I pray for him every day. I pray for him. I pray for Obama every day. First, I pray to get saved. Huh? But, you know, the very thing that I'm talking about, we see that the president's involved in, and it is a blot. You know what I'm talking about, this thing with that woman that's come up. It's in his past. It's there. I'm surprised they didn't say more about the strip clubs he owned and all that kind of mess, you know? Right. Huh? Right. But they haven't. But it's a blot. Remember King David? Huh? King David? He was involved in an adulterous relationship, murdered a woman's wife, and the Lord told him, he said, I'm going to spare you. He said, but you've given much occasion for my enemies to speak evil against me. Oh, that's a Christian, huh? That's what a Christian is about. King David, he's a man of God down there robbing another man's wife and then having him murdered, having an illegitimate child. And you shall serve him, cleaving him, and that proper day shall be put to death. For God hath redeemed you out of the house of bondage, and they would thrust you out of the way, which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So thou shalt put that evil away from the midst of thee. And if thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or thy wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods. And we kind of try to look at that. You know, we established the fact that another god is anything that we would put before God. Anything that we would put before our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Anything that we would put before the will of God in our lives. And he said, if thy brother, and I tried to bring it up. You remember when you first got saved? Everybody thought you was plumb crazy. None of your family understood you. They said, what in the world is wrong with you? You're a fanatic. So many of them was against you, you know. All your friends, I mean, that was your buddies. What happened to all of them? They got gone. People talk about, say, well, you got to give up your friends after you get saved. Well, I tell you what, if you get saved and take a stand, you won't have to get rid of them. Man, they'll take off like a flock of buzzards. Amen. They won't want nothing to do with you. I went and tracked all mine down. I had one that told his half-brother, he said, why did you tell him where I lived? He did. He told him. I said, why did you tell him where I live? Me and one of the guys from church went here and visited him. Knocked on his door. I told him, I don't know if he heard or whatever. He said, but I said, I got saved. And I asked him, I said, you know whether you, what's going to happen to you? Well, I don't know if I actually believe. And I said, yeah, I know. I've been there before. I said, well, I just want you to know. You know, I care about you. And, you know, we kind of went a little bit. And then his girlfriend that he was shacking up with, she got in there and she got all religious on me. She was one of those New Ager mess cult stuff, you know, popped out. And we had a little bit of a conversation. Not bad. You know, we didn't get, you know, but I just said, well, you know, this is what I believe. And she told me what she believed. And I said, well, thank you for your time. And we went on down the road. And I've only talked to him one time after that when a real good friend of mine committed suicide, who was saved, by the way. That didn't look good, did it? That don't look good when God's people despair and let the devil take them out. But you know what happens? Man, he get in our heart and he get in our mind. He ain't no telling where you'll end up. But he said, and they, your own friend, they'll entice thee. Come and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, nor thy fathers. Thy brother, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is in thy soul, entice thee secretly. Well, when I got saved, my wife was already saved, but she was raised in the Methodist, and in the Methodist church, you go to church once a week. And then for some little special things, sometimes they'd have a Bible study, you know, midweek, you know. They very seldom had them at the church. Usually they'd be in somebody's home or something like that. And it was just a small crowd, usually. And, she thought I'd have lost my ever-loving mind. I wanted to go to church, you know, all the time. I'd go home and I'd read my Bible. I mean, I would, Tony Rupert told me yesterday something about loving this Bible. I said, well, I know where you're coming from. I'm sitting there thinking. I'm thinking about when I got saved and I'd read the Bible and stuff. But my wife thought I'd lost my mind. And, you know, and I remember her daddy said this to her. I'm not trying to puff myself up. I'm just talking about things that I experienced, and I know some of you experienced some of the same kind of things. And my father-in-law, he said, don't you ever want to just, you know, say, don't do this, or, you know, he's just going crazy over this stuff. And she said, and she told him, he says, well, be honest, Daddy said, I'm scared to say anything. And he said, so am I. So they just dropped it. Just, they weren't used to it. It was just kind of foreign, you know, that somebody just really just want to go out, knock doors, and Brother Rick knew how it was. You had church on Sunday. Well, it was like this. You get up, because I was in this church. I hadn't even joined the church yet. Craig Bryan tried to get me into bus ministry. I hadn't even joined the church yet. Asked me to get into bus ministry. I said, I'm not a member of this church. I'm just visiting. And I said, but I'll pray about it. He said, okay. And then about a week or two later, we joined the church. Now, I see, I didn't ask my wife if I could join the church here. I was trying to follow God. Matter of fact, the night God told me, I went back there. I had got up and went down to the altar, and I came back from the altar and walked back to the seat, and I said, honey, I said, you can do what you want to. I said, but I'm joining this church. I probably shouldn't have done that, but that's what I did. I felt like that's what God wanted. So I got baptized that night. My wife, who had been baptized as a Methodist, you know, they sprinkle that stuff on her head. And, you know, and Baptists don't accept that. So she got baptized that night. And two of my children got baptized that night. Because they professed that they were Christians, and later they got things squared away. I ain't saying they weren't already, but they had some doubts that they dealt with, and they ended up getting baptized again later because of that. But I say all this, you see, you can be sure, even from your families, you're going to get opposition, and God is warning us right here that this is so serious, you know, you cannot let your family dictate whether you're going to live for God or not. You live for God and then let God deal with your family. You know? You turn them over to God. If they're fighting with you, you turn it over to God. You just do what God tells you to do. Do what God tells you to do. Don't do what the preacher tells you to do. Don't do what Your bus director tells you to do, or your Sunday school teacher tells you to do. You do what you know God, and you need to have a walk and a relationship with God so you can know that, because every person is an individual. And what works for my family may not work for your family. You say, well, God's no different. No, God isn't different. He's the same. He's going to work the same way in every family. He is. He don't change. That's exactly right. But that doesn't mean, hey, that doesn't mean that what works for me is going to work for you. Had a boy one time, he came to me because his marriage was falling apart. And I had told him one time, you know, I went through some rocky places with my family, and he said, what did you do? I said, listen, what I did is not going to work for you. I said, because you ain't saved. God helped me and my family. I said, but I'll tell you what I did. I admitted to my wife I was wrong. I admitted to my wife I had been wrong about some things. Asked her to forgive me. And I said, and if you don't believe it, don't say it, because she's going to know if you're lying. I said, now you've been wrong to your wife, and you know you have. I said, whether you can save it now or not, I said, I don't know, but the first place you got to start was get things right with God. It says, namely of the gods of the people which are around about you, nine of you, or far off from the one end of the earth, even to the other end of the earth, thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken to him, neither shalt thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him, but thou shalt surely kill him, and thine hand shall be first upon him to put him to death. And I brought up, you know, one of the problems I feel like that our churches have had in the past is they've concealed things. They hid things. They swept it under the rug when there was things going on that everybody should have been informed about. Y'all know the kind of stuff I'm talking about. And he said, thou shalt not pity. You should go to them. You should try to get them to get that thing right with God. And when it's necessary, it should be made public. Especially when there's some criminal activity in it that's been involved in it. If you got a pastor who's committed adultery, you don't need him to keep on being a pastor. You don't just say, oh, I messed up, I'm sorry, and everything. No. Could be your wife next. You don't ever know. Just because a fellow says, it's, you know, I got it together right now. Huh? You know, the Bible says, that we need to go to him and get this thing put right. You find that over in the book of 1 Corinthians where something like that happened. They had to deal with that person. They first went to him. And the Bible said, you go to this person first. Get him to make it right. And if he won't hear you, you get a friend, you go to him. If they won't hear you, then you take it to the church. And if you won't hear the church, and the Bible says, you need to read his name out loud. And disfellowship that person that all might fear. But we don't want to do that. And I don't blame you. That's not an easy thing to do. But especially when it's a friend or a family member or something like that. But the Bible said, thou shalt not pity them. You shouldn't just say it's going to be okay. You don't know what the consequences of covering mess like that up could be in the long run. It could destroy thousands. How many people you think is out of church now because of mess like that? How many people you think has been wounded so deeply they said, I won't ever step into a church again? You say, well, they probably ain't saved. It didn't happen to you. Huh? It didn't happen to you. It wasn't close enough to home. Let it get around, let it get real close to you. And then somebody don't do anything about it. I've had things hurt me pretty bad. It was real close to home. I'm telling you, things like this need to be dealt with. Thou shalt, and if you hear of a city and it goes on and says this, but you know, and we looked at some different, and I'm just going to call some of these out, and you know about it. 2 Samuel 13, 1, 6, and 12. You know how King David had a son by the name of Absalom. We know that Absalom had a sister named Tamar, and we know about how his brother, half-brother, that's part of the problem right there. That was part of the problem right there. David had already did what God told him not to in chapter 17, that they were not to multiply wives. He had 9 wives and concubines besides. And he sowed the wind. We know his son sowed the whirlwind. He had what? How many wives? 600 wives and 300 concubines. I mean, that's insane, is it not? I mean, and the wisest man that ever lived? Oh, my goodness. But, so you see, and we read that verse about how our children remember. Our children remember. They remember the things that we've done, the way we've raised them. The brother said, he's tired of me getting on his toes. I wasn't after, you know, nobody's toes, but I'm telling you, I just know people. And our children, you know, oftentimes they'll remind us of our mistakes. Well, you said so, and so and so and so and so, you know, and well, but we know that he had this, can't even think of his name now, but He desired his half sister Tamar, and then he encouraged. He had a friend by the name of Jonadab, and you don't need friends like him. And what he do is secretly he encouraged him to lie. We know where lying comes from. It was just same as the devil. He said, "You pretend to be sick, get you," and then he ends up raping his half sister. Then he puts her away from him. She said, which was greater a sin than him raping her, that you would put me away after you've done this to me. And we know the consequences that came. And you know where it all started? When David was lazy, laying in his bed, gets up in the afternoon off of his bed, been laying around in bed all day, when he's supposed to have been out fighting the battle, like we need to be out here fighting a battle right now with souls all around us dying, going to hell, and can't get nobody to get up and go knock a door somewhere. It's right here in our own neighborhood. You say, well, I can't walk. Then pick up a stinking phone and call somebody. And he wouldn't go to war. And if we don't go to war, there's going to be some consequences too. And he looked and saw that woman, and she was beautiful. He desired her, and he took her. And the consequences were that the sword never left his household. David had been better off when he see that woman rather than do it. He'd been better off to cut his own throat. What it cost him. He said, would that I would have died for Absalom. Look back. He knew who'd caused all this. He knew it wasn't Absalom. It was his fault. Payday someday. 17, chapter 17 of Deuteronomy. We got to get out of here. Got about 5 more minutes. They already piling up outside. They get here earlier and earlier. In Deuteronomy, it says, look at verse 14. It says, when thou art come to the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, shall possess it and shall dwell therein, and shall say, I will set a king over me, like as the nations that are about me. Thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. But he shall not, notice this, multiply horses to himself, that he might trust them rather than God. Boy, if I get me a big enough army, boy, I get me a bunch of horsemen, and I get me a bunch of chariots, and boy, but the Bible says we don't trust in horses or chariots. We trust in the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but I'm going to trust in the name of the Lord my God. And that's what he knew would happen. And then notice this. And we're doing the same thing in America. Well, you know, we want to trust a wall. A wall between us and Mexico is not going to make this place safe. They will arise out of our own ranks. And they have before. You want to make America safe? Go win the people to Christ. The more of us they are, the safer it's going to be. When I first got saved, I hated abortion. I still do. I hated it so bad. I got involved with Right to Life. They wanted to do everything politically and through education. And God told me, he said, it's not going to change nothing. He said, do you not remember when you was in junior high and they educated you about drugs and alcohol? And you said, huh, I wonder what that's like. The only thing that will make a difference if we educate people about him. Lean not to thine own understanding. You're not to multiply horses, you're not to multiply wives, and you're not to multiply silver and gold. And we tried to look a little bit about that, how our parents, you know, wanted to have it better than they had it. And they put within a mindset in this country that you get a good education so you can make lots of money. And so that you know, you'll be secure and you'll be comfortable and life will be good. Would to God our parents would have said, I want you to know God. Heck with money. It takes the wings of eagles. It'll be out of here quicker than you can say amen. But when you got God, he ain't going nowhere. And when you put him first and let him lead you, you might walk through poverty, but I'd rather walk through poverty with him. Amen. And walk through gold dust without him.
Amen.
And that's what's needed. We need to get that mind in us and to tell our children, look, I don't care if you get an education. I don't care if you get a good job. But I'm going to tell you something. You let the Lord decide for you what you're going to be. He won't lead you astray. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Rick Hildebrand, would you pray for us this morning?